So this will be a long trip, and this year we'll do this trip with Frank Ongeri. Frank Ongeri. So we live with him several hours, the hours of this workshop that has both a rather dense cultural and theoretical part, and a stress on design methodology, and let's say a stress on how to design following certain principles and certain ideas of Gary. And then there is also a part of workshop that will be done on Sunday. Both things are interconnected, and so will be a great trip. It's a small crew, so we are in a kind of, we were, generally we did this trip on medium-sized vessel. This time we have a Volkswagen van, but will be, anyway, will be probably even better. So it will be very interesting. Dea was with us last year, and I don't remember if any of you was also, you were, no, only Dea? Okay, so because we've done this trip, this is the fifth time that we're doing this, so it's not the first time. And each year we pick a relevant architect in the contemporary debate, and we go really quite deep into his world and his idea of formmaking, and then we try to also try to understand the tricks, the cuisine tricks, the kitchen secrets, in order to see if we can learn not only theoretically and culturally, but also practically, in a way, no? So that's the scope. And this year we decided to do it on Ongeri. The first time that we did that, I think, was on Sauer or on Terragni. I don't remember well.
It was on Terragni
the first time, and we had also an exhibit here. Then we did it on Lou Sauer and low rise high density housing. Then we did probably another time a combination of Terragni and Eichmann together. And then last year we did on Eichmann, and this year we're doing on Gary. So it's kind of the first time that we do this type of circle, and as every trip transforms yourself, so you will not be the same at the end. Okay? Now, we have everything in the computer as usual. So you can access all the information. This is, as you, some of you know, is very important for me that you can access all the information. Later on, the audio will be also there, so it will be kind of a complete documentation. And then we'll see. Okay, so how you access the material is very important for me. So you go in Google, the only thing that you have to remember is my name. My name is Antonino Saggio, so probably it's written somewhere, you know. So you go in Google, you Google my name, and that's it, that is my home site, which is this one. The home site is full of information. It's really a jungle of information, and you are not, in this particular context, interested in what is in there. But just to tell you an example, if you do Polis Saggio here together, and you will find how many things I've done with Polis, because this is a Google search only within this website. And so you will find all the other lectures and so forth and so forth. What I do always is kind of put the whole information in a hidden link. Because it's kind of fun, right? There is a hidden link, and only the people that is here with me in the room knows where the hidden link is. Later will become public. This is, you must know where the hidden link is in order to access the material. Okay, so in the home page, which as I told you is very rich, something that I discovered rather recently is that they published a translation of this book of mine in Persian. I discovered only recently, one person at a conference arrived and told me, ah, by the way, I translated and published your book in Persian. Oh, okay, that's pretty impressive. May I like to know? Yes, because I discovered that your books are the best, you know. And actually, I'm also translating the Eisenman book now. Very good, very interesting. Anyway, so this is not done today. I just discovered now. But it's done, I don't know, like 8, 9, 10 years ago. Well, anyway. The only thing is that I have a big group of Persian, yes, PhD and students. And when I did the conference in Persia, some of them were saying if the professor that was translating good or bad. They sent me this information on Facebook. I didn't talk with him about these points, of course. But I have my other layers. So just to have fun, generally we have pretty nice posters also about these events here. But anyway, in this case, I put a needle link here because it was too much fun. So if you click on this, you will not find any link. But if you go in the face of Gary, you see? So you must know. If you go in the face of Gary, here we are. So we are in the page that organized these 3 days that we are together. That are intense, but they will be a pleasure, I hope. Surely for me and hope for you. So we go to the lecture, okay? And as I told you, the lecture is... It's a combination of different aspects, and more or less in order to orient yourself, understand what is the structure of what we are trying to do, and not actually what we will do, is that we go into Gary world through 6 keywords. These 6 keywords, they will... put the attention on a specific way that Gary had to operate in different moments of his activities, and also as a different concept and way to organize for making in architecture in his own career. So these 6 keywords, in a way, create the chapters of our talk, our 3 days seminar. Today we will talk of the first 2, assemblare e spaziare, that means to assemble and to create space. We could find a better word in English, Laura, because this originally were, I don't know for how long you are saying, but everything is moving. So probably spaziare in Italian is a kind of a game of word, you know? So, anyway. Then tomorrow we will see each other at 9, and we go with other 3 keywords that are separare, fondere e slanciare. Okay, so it will be the second part of the lecture, rather intense, probably we split, of course, we have a break in the middle. And then we have, in the afternoon of Saturday, we have this last keyword, and we will talk about the exercise, the didactic of the exercise. And then on Sunday, instead, we are organizing a workshop, that means we are working together, and then there is a review in the afternoon. Okay, so this is the way that we talk. So we have 3 major bunch of theoretical, let's say theoretical cultural part, and then we start with that. Okay? All right. In order to move to the lecture, you have to go to this link. Go to the lecture, you link here, and here we are in the lecture. And we start this trip with a keyword, that is assemblare in Italian. That will be something to like of assemble in English, or pile up, or something like that. So you put things together. Okay, you put things together. You assemble. That is a very different word that I compose. I compose is one word. I assemble is another. Is another word. It's just the act of assemble that creates its own syntax in a way. Very different than compose. So with this keyword, we will see all the first part of Gary. But before on entering on that, we have to kind of have a feeling of his biography and his personality, and also of another interesting keyword that I often use, and that is, what is the Gary imprinting? And that means, what is his kind of imaginative world that he always, in a way or the other, followed in all his activities. And that goes really with this picture. Okay, so Gary is born in 1929, and is actually is a Canadian. He's born from a middle low, or more low than middle class, in Toronto, California, and he as a member of the Jewish community. Because of course Gary is a Jew, and why I put this image at the beginning, this is an hardware store, and the hardware store you will see will have an impact for us too. Now later on you understand why. The hardware store is, in a way, the place of the imagination of the young almost a kid, Gary, and also in a way one of the mental kind of a landscape, or a kind of a mental ideas of something that in a way or the other is forming, is some of the structure of his way of thinking, and something of the way that he will always in a way or the other pursuit. So the ferramenta, that is the hardware store, it belongs to the grandfather, and the grandfather, typical Jewish socialist, gave to Gary this second name that is very important, Owen. Frank Owen Gary, because Owen is the name of the industrial utopist socialist of the 19th century in America, one of the people that was trying to push a kind of a more democratic, open, leftist type of approach. So a kind of a hero of that kind of idea. So Frank Owen Gary grew up in a low-class neighborhood in Toronto, California, and then Toronto, Canada. And another rather interesting thing that will play another role later on, his surname was Fish. And this surname Fish is important, because of course nickname is a bad nickname, because it is given to tell that he smells, the other person smells, you know, Fish, he smells. So we will play with these elements later on. After the war, immediately after the war, the family of Gary moved from Toronto to Los Angeles. And he went to live in downtown Los Angeles, that means not in the suburbia, green, clean, middle class area, but in the real tough part of the city, as often are, particularly where, but still in partially are, the downtowns of American cities. And he started to be interested in art. He married with a secretary, And for one, in one way or the other, with little work and things like that, and the help of the wife, he was able to graduate in architecture in Los Angeles. So he graduated in architecture in the 50s, in the very early 50s, and no, mid-50s, and he started to work with Victor Guen, G-R-U-E-N. Victor Guen is one of the architects that comes from Vienna to California. There is all a bunch of these people. Because the California, Austria, California, Vienna liaison was very strong. And Victor Guen is one of the other much more famous in a way, where Schindler or Neutra and others. Victor Guen is basically a very solid architect that was making large commercial centers, kind of quality project, but not the typical architect like would have been Schindler or other. Okay, in this scenario we arrived at the mid-50s, Gary makes his draft, his military duty, and then he won a scholarship to go to Harvard to study planning. This is rather strange, you know. He got this master doing planning at Harvard because basically planning was the field of engagement of the engaged architect after the war. Like architecture was considered much more not engaged, while planning and city planning was the thing of the engaged architect. In reality, this planning, then he went back to work with Guen, so basically not much changed. In the 59, so at the age of 30, he decided to have a little shift, or quite a big shift. He decided to went to work for a French architect in Paris, and he went there with the wife and if I remember well, two children, and stayed with this architect working there and traveling a little bit in Europe in the end of 50s and beginning of 60s. Up to this point, he's a very, very simple and straightforward steps, basically of a son of a of middle-low American class that was able to achieve the graduation and was engaged in finding jobs and things. In 62, he went back to United States and opened his first office. Actually, he opened his office. And when you study the production of Gehry for the next 15 years or so, more or less 15 years after the opening of the studio, you will be really surprised. Because what you see is basically the typical, American professionalism. No? So you do things within a professional frame, so you do it quite seriously, quite well built, etc. But you have basically no indication whatsoever in what will happen later. So if you look at that production, you will see a normal architectural production as hundreds and hundreds of architects that we're doing. Within this, the office kind of grew to a medium-sized American office in the number of 25 or 30. That is considered little, medium little at the time in the U.S. At the same time, California in the 60s already is a land of lots of experimentation in all fields, particularly of course in the human rights, in the kind of idea of freedom in the different areas, of course, of thoughts, of way of being, etc., etc., etc. And Gary, actually, as a person, he was very related to the artistic circle of the city. So he was, his friends were the artists and the painters, the sculptors, etc. So he was he was spending some time with them in his free time, but he was basically a normal architectural professional on the other side. So in order to start to approach this, I just show two houses of this very first period that we call the pre-Gary in a way. So before Gary is known to be Gary in a way. And I just pick these two because are the two most interesting ones and the only two in which you can feel something may happen later on. So there is some research that is not the typical good professional architecture, but it is something a little bit more. So these are two houses for artists, for your friends artists. One is the Danziger, and you see how it is done. It is kind of a block, completely closed to the outside, very protective. You have also to know that in that moment is the moment in which was a bit of passion on the minimalism on a way and Lucan on the other, so there was something on the air in that particular moment. So it was kind of a closed fortress, okay? And the house, it is split in two parts. One part is the studio, and the other part on two floors, it is the residence, and the two are interconnected. And this is the garage, and this is the image. And this is the section. For me, it's very nice to see these drawings, because I recognize really this cultural moment that I studied very much, particularly in Sauer, no? In the 60s, they were drawing like that, drawing maps like that. So typical. It was nice to see these drawings. Anyway, so this is the place. From time to time, with our little Volkswagen, we move. So we jump from the slide to the something as close as the reality. I've done this in different cases, and so you can do it yourself. It was interesting to see it in the real context. No, today we are in Google Google Maps. For us, doing these things that once they were completely impossible, rather interesting. And of course, this is not exactly like being there, but give us an incredible amount of information, more than typical picture. So if we want to have a feeling, it is, I think it is rather fun to have a little bit relaxed. So this is the house. In many cases, I created this possibility to see it more in reality. But so this is one of the house. This is how he appears in the book, because this book, where it is, this book was dedicated to Frank Gehry, and I made it after that one of Eisman. So just 1 year after, and I made this one, and the book was done with a specific attention, not only in the writing, but also in the selecting of the material that in a way could be interesting for architects and students of architecture to really pinpoint certain elements that were important. Okay, so here is one house, and here it is another house. More or less, again, for an artist, this is an urban location. This is instead, it is a country location, is in the open air, clearly, it's outside the city. In this house, Gary makes a rather interesting researching plan, and which is this idea to have a house that is rather compact for a series of reasons, but in a way like a move it, skew it, to transform the plan into a trapezoidal form. That plays a very interesting role, because clearly, apparently it is very regular, very normal. You tend to think that it is a box. In reality, it's not a box, so it creates tension, both from the outside and, of course, very much in the inside, because, of course, this kind of form accelerate or decelerate perception. So it's a little experiment. You don't expect whatever from this, but it's rather interesting, and it is not the typical things that you were doing normally. Normally we are kind of housing development with pitched roofs and nice little balconies or serious master planning or things like that. So very, very normal. So after around 15 years of professionalism, in which more or less these are the two most interesting work, Gary, arriving close to 50, decided to stop. And this is very unusual. So he really decides to close his office. The office closed, the 30 people were out, and he basically decided to rebegin, to have a new start. And this is very, very peculiar of Gary, as it's kind of a fact that will mark all the story from that moment up to today. Today, Gary is almost 90, but he's already inaugurated a very, very important project in Paris that we quickly will see, so it's still, active. This idea to really stop and beginning again, it is rather, it's not completely new, because in a way, also Lucan basically did the same, and also Eichmann to a larger extent had the same type of process. But surely in the case of Gary, in a way, was even stronger in a way. So he decided to start again. He decided to re-become one-man office. He this has to do also with a shift in personal life, because he divorced from the first wife, and he married an architect of the office that is called Berta, and they had children. And all these things are symbolized in his new house, which is this Casa Santa Monica, that in a way is the symbol of many of these things, all coming together, in which the new house, in a way, becomes the place of this transformation, in a way, becomes the place of this transformation. So, from where Gary decides to start again? He decides to start again from his interest from art, from his interest towards expression. And also, in a way, he was also very much reattracted, re-putted on the first place, that idea of materiality, in a way, that was related to his childhood or his imprinting in the hardware store, which, by the way, was the hobby of Gary, always it was the hobby of Gary, going around for gli smorzo, non so come si dicono i negozi di smorzo in americano, but basically the place, in inglese, the place where you buy stuff for constructions or, you know, materials. In America there are also large, very large supermarkets, kind of big house where you can buy from the window to whatever type of things, etc. He always had that as a kind of hobby. So anyway, art was at the number one. He really became a number one interest. And he felt that during his previous professional career, he was not able to re-put it really as a center of his interest. But he was thinking, I entered this field because I had a passion and interest for that. So in order to re-put it at the center, in a way he had to beginning again. So this beginning again is important. But for me it is very, 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 very important this point that I discussed in many occasions, etc. Gay has a very strong interest for art and expression, but he's not an artist. He's not the architect, has a different set of responsibility than the set of responsibility of a typical artist. The typical artist has the real artist as the status of risk in a way. Because there is no art without risk. And for an architect, you cannot accept the idea that for the architect the issue is the risk, because the issue of the responsibility for an architect is very crucial from whatever we do. But it can be a really, really very dominant interest also in expression, in art, even in self-expression. But within a domain of responsibility that is a completely different domain than the responsibility of an artist, that is completely different on that. So this is important for me, very, very important to understand. It's a very important thing, because you will see the whole operation of Gary, particularly when he moves on and on and on, that has a very strong interest in for making art, etc., but within an extremely strong capability to create architecture, to design architecture, to have all the responsibility of architecture. Okay. So, in order to understand what's going on in this word, assemblare, to assemble, and how this key word is incorporated in this house, and how this house starts of this, etc., 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 we have to discuss just a little bit on certain things that is happening in the art scene in that moment. Otherwise, we don't have the coordinate to understand what's going on. And we could say, very, very briefly, that in the 50s, particularly in the second part of 50s, starting from the United States, it became rather central the idea that there is no a high art and a low art. There is not a separation between the product that is done as art with a capital A, with product with not so relevant, but basically the old world as it is presented, it becomes interest of an art action. So in a way, the look of the artist was open much more 360 degree to the all aspects of reality. And particularly this opening of the look at a much more open angle moved within the field of arts things that were completely not considered before. Mainly all the products of the society of the mass production, of the normal society as it is, and so the aspect of the consumism, the aspect of the advertisement, the aspect of even abandoned or semi-destroyed area, etc. Everything enter again in the field of observation, of critical observation, and therefore what we call it art. Putting a quote or a label is what has been labeled as pop art or popular art. As every label it is, okay, you have to accept in order to understand something. But of course within the field of the so-called popular art there is a large spectrum of diversity. Let's say that on one side, towards right, let's put it like that, there is the artist that works much more on the of the icons, on the images produced by the contemporary capitalist society, particularly. And an artist like Andy Warhol is, in a way, is the symbol of this, that often works with image and with icons that are coming from the messages or the icons of the society, in particular of the capitalist American society. That's why there is the Campbell Bell, there is the Coca-Cola, there is the different icons of Marilyn Monroe, etc., etc., etc. Then on the opposite side, just to show it simply on the left side, is the work on the leftovers instead. That are the complexity, the leftovers, the trash, the assemblage of things. That so you are not working on the glossy image of the capitalist society. You work on with the you work instead with the material of the leftover of the society. So on this part there is an artist like Rauschenberg that works often with this type of images or collage or mixture of things. And in the middle there are artists like Oldenburg that works on basically playing on both sides in a way, crazy, gigantic, ironic sculptures or objects that kind of play in both roles, create a kind of an irony on that. The Italians are also interested in this kind of ideas, and there are at least these two artists that are Alberto Burri and Mimmo Rotella, that are artists that work with a kind of an immaginario not far from that one that we just described with Rauschenberg. So very clearly, because if you don't understand this point, you don't understand how to place him, clearly is very close to the kind of Rauschenberg leftover assemblage type of attitude of the popular art, has a very, very little in common instead with an artist like Warhol that has a completely different approach, although the set of issues in a way are similar. So for this kind of ideas and influence in art, etc., the word assemblage, you understand, becomes very important. The idea that you assemble, and you assemble really in art leftovers. And how to kind of think about this idea in architecture, it is basically in some way the invention of this house, which is the first time that appeared really something like that in the field of architecture. Now we tend to be more used to, but was really the first time that the architectural world, almost the first time, was faced with this. What is the story of the house? The story of the house is rather simple. You see it more or less here. The couple bought a house in the suburb of Los Angeles, in Santa Monica. You see like here. And this house is the typical kind of doll house, if you want, done in Dutch style, one of the many styles that's being used in American suburbia, carina, con le tendine, etc. And they play a very strong action on this house that is even symbolically very interesting. They keep it like it is, basically, but they round it with new spaces, the spaces that are needed for expansion of the house, but also symbolically, kind of playing that the double role that of new with a new completely different aesthetic, but an aesthetic that is not the one of the New York Five, for example, or is not the irony that Venturi was making, but this is really this idea of the assemblage. That's why the assemblage, to assemble, is the key word that we are using here to understand these kind of attitudes. So you assemble, really, you assemble, and you see here. And first of all, in order to assemble, what do? You assemble different materials. That's the first aspect. Because, of course, if they are the same, you don't have the strength of, you know, if you assemble, you assemble different things. You don't assemble same thing. Okay, the same material you tend to compose, but if you assemble, you assemble from different things. So here immediately you see all his passion for the raw product, often out of the shelf, like you can imagine him going to a store to buy this window and bringing it in the car van, you know, or this type of material, these corrugated metallic things, or these doors just coming like exactly out of the shelf, or this other structure. In plan, what you see, it is clearly shown here. So this is the existing house, and on the first floor, basically with this, you add a new kitchen, a new dining, and some probably transition area with the backyard that is over there. On the second floor, basically this becomes a terrace there, and on the second, you have two bedrooms here. You go up like that, and what they do, they decided to take all the controsoffitti, so to open up the master bedroom to the roof, so it becomes kind of a sort of much more scenographic space. And this is a view of the kitchen. You can feel the different roughness of the material. The floor is asphalt, and the asphalt is inside and also outside the house, the bright colors, etc., etc., etc. So this was kind of un cazzotto nell'occhio. It was like a punch in the eyes of the neighborhood, basically, because you have to imagine, if you know the United States, you know what does it mean to stay in a suburb in which your front lawn is supposed to be perfectly clean, and yes, you are allowed to have some confusion in the backyards. But basically everything here is changed. Your backyards, symbolically, physically, experientially, as a way of making, became the front. Becomes the center of a new way of thinking architecture. It's a big, big change, a big, big shock, that in that particular moment was one crazy person that started to decide to start over again with this action, particularly in a moment in which architecture was not going in that direction. Because in the 70s, 78, the architecture was going towards memory and postmodernity. It was not going in this direction. And so that was really unusual. So when he started that, he started again. He's probably in that phase, he's still one-man office. And although he's 50s, he's kind of making projects that you can imagine a person of 25 of maybe, you know? Look at these things, you know? It's even the materiality, how it is put together. And so this is another house that in this case was not built, because he's starting again with, from little commission. or little projects. Again, here you say that you see that he plays again with kind of trapezoidal form, and he makes again that he does in several moments, like this one, to have a major body, and in this case this part over here, and then to add to it some volume in order to create tension and to the overall operation, and also to solve certain specific aspects of the program. If you look at the plan, though, it's very interesting to looking at the plan, and if you do the comparison with some plan of the same moment of Eisenman, you feel immediately that Gary was and still is a very super professional. So in his plans, they are not machine in which the client can commit suicide, which basically are the type of Eisenman plan, particularly at the beginning of his career, like a torturous plans, but really are plans that works fine, works very fine, and are very well done in terms of sequence of spaces, organizational spaces. There is all professionalism behind that, so it's not done like that, but again, within a very strong tension and interest for form making, in this particular moment, a very interesting interest for this kind of operation of assemblage. That's why we are using this keyword to enter the very first part of the new Gary. Assemblage, to assemble, okay? To pile up. And a key material, try to remember these things because they are important. They will be important in the exercise, although we will be back on that. One of the key material in order to do this are the nets. Often, in some way you can all, the nets are often used in this particular, strongly in this phase, and for a certain number of years are kind of trademarks of this phase of Gary. Because in a way the nets symbolize lots of these things altogether. First of all, they are not used normally in construction. They are the stupid nets that you generally see in the backyards, you know, to protect an area. Instead, he brings the nets in the front, and he plays with this element, and it often are there, and in some cases they also solve technical issues. For example, in this particular case, I remember, and I think I wrote in the book, the nets create a perfect situation for the little kids, because they are like birds there. They cannot fall down. So balconies in which they can enter and you are safe, you create the net, it's fine. Of course, it's also, it is mainly, or together, a very strong way now to create certain aspect of the construction. It's very symbolic on that aspect. This is another house, more or less at the same moment. It's called the Familian. And again, you see how the same game, that because Gary has certain simple design games at the end. For example, in this phase, really this idea that you have one body that in some way is pretty much straightforward, and then to this body you attach things, and so if you feel that is much the image it creates with a high level of complexity in a way, but actually the structure is rather straightforward to a certain extent. You know, look at here, for example, I don't remember right now. Okay, one thing is for la zona notte, and the other one is for the zona giorno. So this part that is open on three sides is basically the living part of the house, so it takes the maximum advantage of the sun and other things, while this part is mainly the bedroom area and can be much more straightforward, etc. All these are consequences at all level. Okay, so this is really the re-beginning of Gary. And here, this project, Casa Spiller in Venice, more or less in the same area, shows us a little bit more, and it shows also, allows us to tell, allows us to tell one other category that is very important for getting this faith. The category is cheapskate, and is a word of Gary, and it's very important to have in mind this keyword, the cheapskate, because it's the kind of the translation of the concept of to assemble. You assemble, you have the pop part, you have the leftovers, all these things become the center of your design operation. High and low are recombined, because they are recombined culturally, and so it's a completely new vision of the world. It's a completely new vision of the world. In this way, it's a new aesthetic, because it will allow you to look at things differently, with categories that you did not have before. And this category, of course, puts together a lot of things, but particularly were not conceived without that. The first ones that were looking things differently, of course, are the artists. In a way, the artists come after. So cheapskate, cheap means poor, right? Cheap in America. Cheapskate. Scape is a desinenza that in the American language has been used to say scenario, yes. So it's a landscape, it's a land scenario. Is an urban scape, is an urban scenario, etc. Okay? City scape, town scape, etc. And the idea to use the same structure, to call it a cheap scape, exactly shows that. The idea that you are creating a new aesthetic is a new aesthetic based on all process that are not the high process, are the kind of the normal, the popular, are even the leftover. And this idea is absolutely central for Gary, and is a very important idea, very, very important idea, to work in context like Italy, particularly the southern part of Italy, or in context like Albania, or like in many contexts in which it is much more logical to take energy, take formal energy from processes of complexity of reality as it is, instead of taking imaginative and fascist energy from a past that never existed, like the Greek temple. It is ridiculous. It is ironical. It is really a combination of a high level of naivete, how you can say, that you kind of dream of something that is completely out of any energy that you can really capture from the reality. That is the whole idea. You capture, you transform in architectural expression and in architectural form and in architectural energy something that in some way comes from the landscape as it is. And you transform it within the strength of a conscious action. So that is the whole idea of the cheapskate in this space, and a very, 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 very powerful idea, extremely powerful idea. And of course, Gary is not a person that theorizes. You know, Eichmann loves to theorize. Gary doesn't make a theory, you know, but the key word in some way, he says the key word. So he has a very clear understanding of the sense of this action. So the cheapscape, as you can imagine, it is something that I always considered as something to take in very serious consideration in many situations as ours, in a way, no? In which high and low recombine, and when you can find the energy in the low instead that in a kind of abstract, dreamlike and non-existing reality. So this house, in some way, since it is larger, and since it is in the context in which these things make sense, in a way is the symbol of this. It's the first a little bit bigger house that he makes in this circle. And you see what it is. It is interesting to go in the site, because you will look a very normal, not particularly clean, not particularly framed network. And now we are not interested to see the house per se. We're just interested if we have the possibility. I lost the guy. Dove è finito? Ah, no, è là. Okay. Forse ci mette un pochettino adesso a fare il refresh. But anyway, you can go along. Che sei fatto? Vabbè. No, I think I lost. Okay. Un po'. Anyway, you understand this from the plan. Now probably will take a little time before he wakes up and do whatever. You can do it later, but it's not so important. Okay, I was here, assemble. Alright, so anyway, you understood this concept of the cheapscape that is so important. Now let's see the house itself, because it's a strategy that is a very interesting strategy to take into consideration that I've seen used several times, and also by Tower. Which is what is the idea? The idea is this one, that you buy, or you suggest to your client to buy, dove va? Ci vuole portare là. He wants to bring us there, I suppose. Ah, but you see where it was. Okay, doesn't matter. Okay. Okay, what is the strategy? The strategy is that you or you suggested the owner or whatever to buy a complete lot, you see? A complete lot, like this. But you divide the operation in two parts. That means there is one part that is larger, that is, let's say, the larger apartment house, and there is another part that is smaller. Why you do this? You don't only do this because probably you have two nuclear family or whatever, but typically you do that because with the lower part you pay out the loan. So you rent the lower part, and with the loan, with the rent of that, you pay the loan of the whole operation. So this is something that I've seen done in different cases again. Lusauer explained to me this technique. That evidently was rather common, because more or less in the same moment this is another case. And so the organization to do that in this case, and also in the case of Sauer, is based on a courtyard, basically. And on one part that is higher and the other part that is lower. And so when you look at the plan, you see that there is this part that goes higher and the other part that goes lower. I think it is vice versa. It is this part that is higher and this part that is lower, of course. And always look with attention the sketch of Gary, because Gary is a person that makes the sketch of the building And if you look really at the sketch, in the case of Gary, this gives you 90% of the image that he's looking for. Because the sketches of Gary are like caricatures, you know, like I make a caricature of one person, in few ideas I show what is the essence of that face. In his case, this is made in architecture, but if you look at the sketch, you immediately understand what he says. He said, this is, has to be a box. The box has rather regular window, will not do something particularly complex with that. It's a block that goes up. And then the hair are rather open. So we create something funny a little bit with the hair. This is what he says. And it is what to do in terms of, or it is for making, you feel it's more or less a box, and more or less these things happen on the roof that creates the variety. Everything else is rather economic, rather simple at the end. There are things, but of course with these cuts and these things you can add a lot in terms of interior speciality. And also the different episodes that happen on the roof are part of the idea of how you create the image. Okay, so there is that level of openness on the roof. It is there, and you see immediately there. Here is the section. As you can imagine, this part that is more interesting because has lights from the top, and there is this element that enters, etc. But again, if you look at the house in terms of the material first, in terms of the form making second, and in terms of the aesthetic that he proposed, it is really the idea of the cheapskate. It's the idea that all the energy that he takes from an interpretation of what is around. It is a transformation and kind of become more conscious what is around, in a way, through this design operations. Okay. Domande? Lea? Do you have any question? Something that we want to discuss or that you would like to ask before we move on? Because imagine this is the beginning of the first one or six chapters, so we have a long way to go, but we have time, so we can interact a little bit.
For me, it's really interesting because I didn't know this path in Gary's life, like starting in the beginning, something that
much closer to us.
Yeah. And then taking consideration of the time that you were explaining that living in postmodernism that they were starting in that time and going in a different direction with this new energy is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And the, can you say that actually you start to realize that it's really there now?
Yeah. This was the other aspect. We are going to talk with each other about that at the end of the day a little bit. Is this idea of the materiality is very important. So if you are a pop art artist, okay, and then I ask you to do a pop art piece by Sunday, you probably don't come with your box of watercolor and your tripod, right? Probably you look at reality in different ways. So what I'd like to do at the end, remind me, to open up, without really open up all the structure of the exercise, open up this idea that in order to do the exercise we must to do some action in order to add the material to do the exercise. Otherwise we don't. Anyway, the other idea that was very, very important for me was really the idea, you know, some of you know that I live kind of a couple of months in Sicily, so I am facing all the time with this contrast of a very strong natural beauty and aspect of leftovers, let's say, of infinito or non finito, or kind of It's not Toscana, no? Sicily is not Toscana. It's all these aspects. And those aspects are so evident in different parts of Albania, in which, you know, how many, probably 80% of the building matter has been built in this last year, also with processes that in some way they don't have the aesthetic consciousness to do that, but in some way are done in that way. And I'm sure the first Gary will come here, we will have such a great, easy kind of landscape within which to do his stuff. And this idea that the architect is a kind of mental landscape, so it belongs to certain space, you imagine that a person like that Gary particularly, going in places in which that contradiction, that complexity, that is not the Las Vegas contradiction and complexity, is another, completely different, how much excited would it be, and how much inspiration can have, and transform these things from the aspect of unconscious reality to the field of conscious aesthetic understanding, which is different step, but is rely on the same matter. And so that for me was important. That's why I put also the here and there the Google link, so it was possible to go. All right. So I think there is somebody that is not listed. Somebody that arrived later, because we are 5 and suddenly we became 6. You arrived. You can sign your name. Ma la persona che fa il master di estetica è arrivata? Ah, okay. Yeah, it is you. Okay. Because I know that you are coming from different field. Okay, good. Now, so there are other observations or things that we may discuss in this phase or question.
Of Albania, how it
could be. Yeah.
Because
that is exactly your job.
Yeah.
This is exactly your job. Because basically your job, not only yours, is the class job, basically. That's why we're living these 2 days and a half moving within this world and then exactly doing this. That's why, together with Ledian, Ledian prepared also a possible site that we can decide if to play with it or not, and then as a possible exercise, but all the idea is exactly that. But the key thing that's going on is that we don't have one keyword, we have 6 keywords. So, the idea is that people can decide where to go. Because we are doing with this exercise, we are doing a path that is also kind of, 78 to 90, it is 20 years, more or less 20 years. You know? Of course, there are things after, but basically we stop there. So, okay, andiamo avanti. Come vogliono loro, perché il problema è non fonderli, però devono anche essere un minimo, cioè andare e tornare all'ora che abbiamo detto, se no è inutile. Ok, 5 minutes. Let's move to this other keyword. In order to move from one to the other, you go up, down on the page. You see these are the 6 keywords. We have done assemble, And now we go to spaziare, number two, okay? So the index to go back and forth is always here on the bottom, okay? Now, let's move to this other keyword that spaziare is not even a proper Italian word. It's a kind of a neologism. So we can translate also in English. But spaziare means that while the operation of assemble, we understand, it's like piling up, assemble, and it's typical of what we discussed so far, spaziare is the idea that you separate things, and while you separate things, you create space in between. And that, so, why assemble is this? Basically, separare means that you are starting to understanding that is the interconnection between the volumes and, more importantly, the space in between that is the center of design operation. So we could call this Tom and Jerry. Doesn't change. You know, once you understand the conventional understanding that's done. In Italiano, we can make this spaziare. In English, we can try to translate create space, but, you know, it's rather banal. But we understand that there is something different. It's a different technique from to assemble. To create space, spaziare is a different one. So, in order to understand this technique, that is actually a little bit later than Gary starts to move again. You know that it's beginning, we understand this assemble as a first way, as a kind of first lens to see certain works, and now we are moving to these other keywords, spaziare. You have to understand that these are not things that are interpretations, right? I build this interpretation to make to explain and to answer you in certain things that you can create actions within it. So it's not that that is written either by Gary or like that. Are lenses that we put in reality in order to focus. And of course, I have some level of effectiveness or some level of usefulness, because of course it must be matter in order that you do interpretation that makes sense, you know. But it is basically a critical interpretation. This is rather important for you to understand. So this second keyword, it is spaziare, to create space, and to put at the center of the operation the space in between. One project, one of the first projects in which this technique became very evident, the second technique, it is the house for a filmmaker, a house that was not built as it was, as a strange series of stories, was never really exactly done, but we look at it more exactly as a project. Now, look at it, now for 1 second. Look again the sketch, and particularly look at this plan. I think I have it, okay, here is the model, look at this, at this plan. What you will immediately understand that here is not simply the technique of assemblage that we saw before, or to assemble. You really feel that there is the idea that the pieces that create this complex are organized in some kind of a village, in a way, in which the center, it is the center of really actions, are not so much the building per se, but is a sequence of open spaces that are created by these volumes. So that's why spaziare, that's why to create space as a strong force behind. But then if you look with attention, this sketch or these things, you will notice probably that there is something very different than the pure assemblage. Right? In order to create, we have new clients in the post-pagan bakery, because they have to keep the gap. Okay. So troppo sofisticato, perché capisco che non si può fare.
quando io c'ero ragazzi a fare con i signori tardi. Allora dunque, dicevamo, ok,
so there is one aspect in that drawings that is very different than the other. What is it? So if you do spaziare, the image, look at all these images here, is that one. What type of image it becomes? Esatto?
Ermal.
Dov'è Ermal? Si è andata? Lui,
che conoscevo già.
This is very important to understand. When you understand that, you are happy for the next 2 months.
If I create an assemblage, how is this form I can the assemblage? Pa 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 pa, pile up or whatever. It is rather abstract. It is rather abstract.
That means, before, we are talking before, that was the assemblage, right? If you do the assemblage as a technique itself, if I pile up, I tend to create an abstract image, right? Because if I assemble, okay, I don't have a figurative image, I have an abstract image. If I do an assemblage, I tend to work formally with a certain level of abstraction, generally speaking. In fact, all the things that belong to that kind of attitude tend to have abstract image. Look at this, right? It's an abstract image. It's an image generated by a high level of assemblage, in a way, right? And if of course, again, if we look, I don't know where I put it, if I put if I look at a Russian border or a burri, etc., these are clearly images that are based on an assemblage and is clearly an abstract image. What does it mean to have an abstract image? That is in an abstract that you cannot immediately name. You cannot name because it's an abstract composition. It's not, you cannot name it exactly. On the opposite, if I work with spaziare, and this is a very interesting concept that comes with it, and it comes exactly in that sketch. In a way, there is some level of figurative. It becomes much more figurative. The operation of spaziare becomes much more figurative. What does it mean, abstract and figurative? Because if we don't understand, I mean, we must be sure to understand. Gerdi, Papa, sei arrivato? Where is Gerdi? Okay, what does it mean to have an abstract image or a figurative image? You are our only engineer in the class?
No.
Oh, good. So we are fine. Because I know that there is an engineer, and that will be a frightening problem for him. Unsolvable equation. So you should be able to answer. Okay, if I do a portrait, okay, if I do a painting, okay, let's make it more simple. If I do a painting, and I'm saying, you do an abstract painting or a figurative painting, what does it mean?
Abstract doesn't have any roof to follow.
The roof too?
Roof to follow.
To?
It doesn't have the roof.
To follow.
It doesn't follow.
No, absolutely, completely wrong. Completely wrong definition, my dear. Abstract doesn't mean that it doesn't have rules. I have very strict rules. Actually, by the way, abstract is more rule-based than figurative. So the problem is not the rules. No. You have to find a more keen definition. If I do an abstract painting or an abstract portrait or a figurative portrait, The question is very simple, right? What is the key? They're not the rules.
Or the abstract, or put a name, give a name, or a
kind of... Very simple. If I do an abstract painting, I don't recognize the person. I don't recognize the person, you know? If I do a cubist portrait, I don't recognize the person. I can I cannot name the person. That becomes a series of syntax things. Actually, that's why they have a lot of rules. In some way, there are more rules in an abstract than in a figurative. While in the figurative, clearly, I should supposed to recognize the person, right? So this means abstract and figurative. And the same concept applies to architecture. Because I can have a more abstract architecture in which I cannot name the parts, basically. That's a good definition. While I have a more abstract, a more figurative architecture in which I name the parts. So I can say roof, balcony, columns, things. But if it is an abstract, it's all based on another thing, okay? Only on syntax rule. Okay, if I look at Rietveld architecture, right? In Rietveld architecture, all things is an abstract game of planes with very strict rules, very, very, very strict rules. È chiaro il concetto? Should be. Okay, so now let's go back to Gary. So, in which way we say that this is a figurative architecture? Because clearly there are components that in some way are named, you know, like they are figures, you see, they are figures. So they are not just done with an assemblage, an abstract way, he works with figures, okay, these are exactly figures, and makes sense in this idea that you create an operation of creating in some way a story of pieces that talk to each other around the space, but the single actors of this game in some way are figures. Because in this particular interpretation, the fact that the pieces have figures in some way is very important in order to create this kind of concentrated game. Now, in this particular case, these figures in some way are evocative, in some way are new, but it's this idea that they are all figures. Now, look at this. So you see immediately that the composition is not an assemblage composition like the other. It's really done with this idea that you create a space, right? And second thing that it is that each one has figures, each one has a physiognomy, if you want. And in fact, you see that the different pieces, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as like actors in a way, you know, that have their own physiognomy. Because the driving force of the operation is a different driving force. It's not just the assemblage, it is this. Now, I see the silence that means, So there, try to tell with your own words this concept and let's see how much it's arrived and then we try again because it's important that, it's nice that you understand things, otherwise it's not useful.
Yeah.
Spaziare, yes, let's use the Italian, yes.
Yeah, because I think it's also the word is different, like in English, as yeah. We're explaining before.
Yeah.
And here we see the clear figurative space, let's say, and the actors that we're explaining, like the figures that we have this entire, we have also figures inside the figures.
Yes, of course.
So, everything, okay, there are different things, but in the same time, they are each piece are related to each other. So if you see, maybe you can see, divide it all of them, and you see that, okay, it can stay, for example, alone, but if you put all together, then you have this kind of interrelation that maybe this space...
È arrivato il pennarello? Sì. Okay. Okay.
Also this space that... put together that maybe creates another figure, another story about entirely.
Okay, so we talk about more or less assemblare, right? or to assemble. It's the first thing that he discussed, okay? So what it comes from pop art, it comes from the fact that you put different materials one against the other, okay, and you create this abstract collage, substantially. So it's an abstract, basically, collage. The fact that it's abstract doesn't mean that it doesn't have the room. It's very important, it's very crucial. But it is abstract because it doesn't create a necessary physiology if you do that, it doesn't have a physiology, it's abstract, okay? So let's discuss that. Now we saw this other thing and we said, okay, look, they change the idea. So, or let's say they move another step. Of course the previous one is there. And instead of creating an assemblage, he decides that the center of the operation, it is really the interplay of objects. What is really important is the space that creates them. Okay, this is really important, is the space. That's why we call it spatial. But in order to have a very interesting composition of this space, these are going to be abstract, as well as figure, as well as geometry. It becomes much more stronger. And it's the way that actually the city, the material, the traditional city like the Baroque city, it is done. The pieces have figures. But they talk as an interplay. That's why this sketch shows that very clearly. This one. The little one over there. Okay. This one. It's always important that they have figures in a way, in order to, and then to have the center that is the interplay of them. And the center of the design action becomes the space between them. Okay? So that's why spaziare, we have this keyword, and this is a technique that once you know it, once you master, you can live up a lot. You can do a lot once you understand that. Okay, so this is one building. This is one project. This is, of course, the thing. Now you understand why this object, each one has its own physiognomy. In some cases, has its own color. Because this is very important to create that kind of concert. It's a kind of a concert around the open space. That is all the idea. That idea of the physiognomy comes in many other projects in this particular moment. Look at this one, for example, as a different theme, but again, there are three studios interconnected by this kind of sort of basement that allows better each one to have its own individuality. I like three actors that are there. It is clearly the idea of the architect, so in this case, plays with the same idea. Okay. Yes, Fred, please.
For the assemblage, we have some rules here. We have some rules even here?
Yes, absolutely. The first rule is in order to be that, the spaces must be in the Gehry way of thinking, rather informal. It's like the idea, the basic idea is that, like, organically you create villages or little squares, etc. There is absolutely no, try to get away of an idea of formalism in his idea. Because, of course, we can have that idea of the spaziale with a very high type of formalism, you know, the piazza, the square, the thing, the Italian type of rationalistic or fascist architecture, the neoclassical architecture, etc. Instead, the idea of Gehry is to, again, find the energy out of the low, not out of the high. And so the energy comes from some type of informality, we call, or sequence-like, or open-like, not surely not formal. So not kind of processional things, but this is one rule that he applies very much. And he thinks that this idea comes not only, this is very important to feel, not only from the, the peripheries of the world, including those of America, but also from an understanding of how sequence of spaces such as the Baroque city in Rome, to make an example, are done not really with that idea that there is a preformed design, but there is a series of actions that play one with the other, like this way many intriguing public spaces are creating. So I would say one is that. The second one, it is the idea that the pieces, in order to work, must have its own, a little bit of a physiognomy, so must be a little bit iconic. That is the second one. And then the idea that is orchestrated, so is different. So are different, like in an orchestra, you have different sounds, right? And in this case, they are different. Then there are others that you are going to talk in 1 second. But this level are these three that we touched. Yes. These are the three major one at this level. There are others that I'm going in 1 second to tell. Another project that has this type of process of creation, although is not created really outside spaces, but is done more or less with the same logic, is this house that is called the Winton House, and actually is a little pavilion that Gary did within the property of Philip Johnson. Philip Johnson has the house that he designed after the war, and then there are different guest houses. And the different guest houses have been done during the years, imagine, to different architects, that in the process they are friends, or they are talented, so-called friend architects, or re-emerging in this particular way. And that this is very interesting. To imagine that the Philip Johnson, that in this moment, mid-80s, was kind of the king of postmodern architecture, gave this work to Gary, that was very different in that phase, Johnson then moved back, of course, as always did, from one thing to the other. But anyway, this, look how it is, this little house, and then you immediately see that idea, that the different pieces have their different physiognomy. You immediately clear. So, but at the same time, you look at the plan, and again, as I said before, look how simple and effective is this little plan, based on one concept that we often express in classes, that is the center. The center as an organization distribution principle. So in this case, basically, this is let's say the living part of the little house guest, and this little part has this strange thing that is pyramidal, like that. So it's very interesting. Although it is in the center, has light on different sides, and particularly from above. And from the center, he organizes the parts. You got one bedroom with a bathroom, in one niche, a little kitchen. The little kitchen, yes, and another bedroom over here. And on this part is the garage. Very interesting to know that even the guest house has its own garage. And then you go up with this stair to a little studio, which is this one. So this is really almost as a baby doll, right? A baby house or a dollhouse. It's small, but it's so intriguing. And at the same time, you understand exactly that concept. The pieces with different physiognomy that it makes the thing. And in this particular case, it is Gary that mentioned Giorgio Morandi, that is an Italian painter of the last century, that he was very much known for his still life. And clearly the relationship, it is so evident. Again, here it is the placement of object in space, and the placement of this object in space are based on the fact that each one has his own physiognomy, his own form. So it clearly is a word that is very similar. So Gary starts to have some other projects, some larger projects, and one, it is the addition of this law school in downtown Los Angeles. It's called Loyola Law School, a rather small university. Non so se tu l'hai vista questa, Laura. Tu l'hai vista questa? It's in downtown Los Angeles, in some part of a kind of a tricky, dangerous area, though. And anyway, what is rather interesting in this work is that you see in action exactly this principle, but you discover other things, other principles about these all principles that make a lot of sense, just if you think of a second. So the first one it is you have to imagine that this block was a typical office block in which the little university was located, and then evidently they bought other areas, and then they find Gary to design the addition. What it is happening, it is rather straightforward and intelligent at the same time, and is used always this strategy of the spaziare and all its consequences, some that we discuss and something that we discover. First thing is that you see immediately, again in this sketch, it is what we just discovered before, is that this strategy, it is based on the fact that the different pieces that you created have a figure in a way. So here, for example, in this sketch, you see that he is kind of elaborating the idea of a Romanic church. The Romanico is the historical architectural style that is generally located historically before the Gothic, right? And the Romanic, it is based by all the, some attitude that is rather similar to this idea of the figures, you know, that the different parts of the church are clearly identifiable, the abside, il transetto, la torre, etc. So it's clearly that Gary was interested in looking at these things, and he traveled, when he was traveled, he was always looking at this type of architecture. So here in these sketches, you see that all a series of elaboration of that idea brought to this piece. I think, yes. Or to the chapel, yes. He brought to the chapel, which is this piece. Okay, over here. And how it is done? This is rather interesting, because Gary used a technique of, let's say, hybridation transformation. He doesn't take directly the Romanic church and put it there. He kind of makes a transformation of the conic image, you know. He starts from that, and then in some way he creates a distillazione, no? An understanding of the form in principles that are not a direct memory, that is another operation. But so in all this sketch you see that, how he works with certain elements, come from that figure, to create something different, but as an echo on that. The other thing that you understand clearly on this, and the same type of things makes here, over here, in which basically it breaks, okay, here it is, it breaks the office building in order to create this system, that is a system of inside distribution, and also a more effective way to enter and exit, and also a very strong and interesting element. And this is done clearly evocating the idea of the gallery, you know, the typology of the gallery, that is a typology used in 19th century, also the beginning of the century, playing with that idea, and you see here. But there is another very, 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 very important thing that we discover when we look at this. Now, we understand that the idea is that one of the spaziare, right? It is clearly here. Clearly here, in this composition, you understand that the center is what is this space, right? And that space, again, is done with that principle of informality, or kind of almost accidental, not clearly, not monumental, not processional, but kind of more, no? Like bonbon, like informal, like if things are happening there, almost in a chronological sequence. And that's why there is not this axiality, there is always looking for some type of tension one with the other. So this is the chapel, now here you understand better. So this is the chapel. I'm not 100% sure, but this is the place where the court, so the simulation of the court is done. Like, you know, like imagining to have a space that is like a trial. And this is another one that I don't remember right now. But the interesting thing is clearly that in the physiognomy of the building, there is a game that is played with what is the typical things that happen inside, you know. So this one is a chapel, he's playing with that idea of the church, transforming, mutuating the idea of the Romanist church in this form. Here is the idea of the entrance of the gallery, this is the idea of the more classical temple in this case, because it's an image that particularly in the United States is always related to justice, you know. So justice is practical in a way. So he's playing with that, with the idea, the idea of the agora, etc., etc., etc. But our friend Ermal, he was looking for other rules. Ermal Opta. What is the other Ermal? Ermal Tehani, you have to must be more active. Next time you say, no, I want to be, not the other Ermal. Why is he always saying, I want to be? There are two Ermals here. Okay, so anyway, the two Ermals in group, they can have a short discussion among them, although they hate each other, but, kidding, to understand there is an inner rule behind all this that makes this approach of spaziare extremely economically effective. Which one is that? Only the two Ermals can ask to this question. Let's see who is the first that answers to this question. Do I have to reformulate again? We are looking for rules or inner forces of the idea of spaziare, okay? We saw the different ones. We talk about the informality, we talk about the physiognomy, we said all these things. Now I'm saying there is one strategy that makes very logical and very economical and very realistic this approach of spaziare. We should be able to interfere, I mean, understand it from there, with the keyword economical, pragmatic, the three that I said. Which one is that? Did I formulate it okay? I think so. You have to try. two tribes. The other Ermal, Beth Hani. Could, it's not that. It's a very simple thing, very, very, very effective. Behani. I said economical, very pragmatical, very pragmatic. Let's say very pragmatic. It makes a lot of sense. These techniques make a lot of sense in a real situation, in a pragmatic situation. Becomes very logical, very economical, in a very real situation. In which sense? Yes, which one? Although here is the answer. Okay, you can see this one too if you want. This one too. In which way this is very pragmatic? Why it becomes also very pragmatic? Very... And you talk with a client and say, yes, of course, my dear Archie, you know how to do things. It's very pragmatic, also very pragmatic. So in this way, very economical in terms of logical. In which way it's very pragmatic? You have other 2 minutes, the two are now.
All of them use the same thing?
No. It's so simple.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, that's quite fun. Because when you discover, you say, my God. Also, now let's play with some other participants. Now let's have another couple. Okay. Dunque, Enel e lei, they are, è stata molto utilizzata, Enel e Marcella. Chi è Marcella? Okay. I'm doing the question to you, the two of you. Why is so pragmatic this idea? Why makes a lot of sense? In which way? Okay.
I want to see a picture.
Okay. Okay. In which way? Why?
Lei è Marcella. Tu sei Marcella.
Io.
Lei è Marcella.
Lei
è Mel. Dove è Mel? È Mel. In che senso? Is very pragmatic. No. It's like catching the ball. It's enough the first half of a second if I understand if I'm moving right or wrong. Allora, vediamo con la tua amica là vicino. Chi è lei? So we relax dopo the end. Come?
Sigali.
Ah, Sigali. Noi ci siamo conosciuti, no? Tanti, non ce la voglio. Sigali e lei?
Beta.
Beta. Beta, non beta. Beta, ok. Sigali. Facciamo uno sforzo per metterlo. E invece le beta? Ok.
Yes,
un po'.
In which way?
No.
Maybe there are the space between their Non come to even have tears of Rush, but
So in order to get out of the loop, you have to ask you this fundamental question. How do you build a village? But how do you build in reality a village? Only here once. How is it done? In a temporal peaceful way. They will just space is not done bone, it's done within a temporal sequence. That's the pragmatic aspect. That means that this strategy is pragmatic because exactly like in a village, things are not done like that immediately, but you can plan. In village is not planning, they are happening. But in this case, you can plan a sequence of action in time. That means that making very simple, that now you can try to dismantle this project. Okay? Try to imagine that I come and I have a meeting with the administrator of the campus. Okay? And then I say, alright, you have this building. Okay, so the first thing that we are doing is, okay, let's leave the building like it is, and let's create only that guy over there on top. Okay, so I'll do first phase one. Okay, let's just create a screening on the street, and let's create this. So we start to have here, for example, we have only this, okay? Phase one. Cost $2 million, okay? Then what I say, alright, but in my plan, when this is done, okay, probably we can remodel the existing building. Okay, so that now let's have this crack, let's remodel this, and let's have this space that has some more importance. Then there is phase three, that is, let's put this one over here that creates depth, etc. Now let's arrive to complete the game with this. Obviously, it becomes very pragmatic. You understand? Very pragmatic. So it's a strategy that you can plan things to happen. But in a way, you plan, this is the trick, kind of moving the movie back. So you imagine how it is the final scene, and then you imagine the set to arrive to that. So you have to have the idea of the complete in order for you to arrive to the part. Because the whole idea that is very interesting like that, it is that each individual set has their own sense. This is the idea. So this phase starts to reorganize already when you do this, in order to create this inner space. In this space, there are all these things, maybe even in all the answers, but it is already as a meaning. And that this meaning is added with that, etc., etc., etc. In some way, it is very similar to a certain way, although it's not done in the same way, in the way that the urban spaces are created. But the urban spaces are not created with an action. More often is a sequence of adjustment one with the other. The difference here, it is that it's done with this technique like imagining the whole thing and then saying, alright, pragmatically, now we have so much money. Now if the university is going okay, then we can do this other thing and then we can enrich the thing. And this is actually exactly what happened. Because for one phase there were things like that, and then, then for example this other part that is behind has been added later on with the library that was happening after this first part, etc., etc., etc. So this is very important, very, very, very important. So the technique, this is the other rule that we were looking for before, that I could not anticipate,
But the idea is that the technique of the spaziare, since it has its own DNA that in some way comes from, let's say, the informality within which some of the most interesting urban spaces are created, that is a kind of a psychosocial, its DNA goes in that direction, as these other aspects. That becomes very important, and the trick is exactly kind of planning the image complete, like at the maximum of saturation, and then moving back to it in order to understand how with very little move at the beginning you can still kind of move in the right direction. And moving in the right direction both from the functional point of view, from the economical point of view, and from the relationship point of view. So this is, I think it is rather rather interesting things to consider. And in this particular case, this project is the most relevant of this, exactly to show this. Although he used different ways. So far in my imagination, to recap the steps that we have done today, we understood. Okay, let's go back. So, I'll recap, because at 5 we close, right? Okay, so we have a few moments to close, to have questions, and to open up the thing. So, let me recap first. So, particularly for those that have not arrived in time, we discussed very briefly about some elements of the biography of Gehry. We said that he was born out of a lower class, and in a way, the fact that he lived a thing, kind of his world as a child, as a young boy, was really permeated by this hardware store of the grandfather. So in a way, the hardware store brings within him some kind of imagination that he always had and in some way played in his life. Then we discussed strong about the first re-beginning of Gehry, and we used the word assemblare, the way that really like all these different pieces were assembled together, were put it together, and with that kind of informality and creating basically abstract image. And it's a typical technique in which the different strength of the owner material are almost rude and crude, put it together with kind of informality, creates this type of approach. Then we discussed with certain attention the idea of the cheapskate that we consider crucial, because the whole idea is kind of taking the energy from the existing informal landscape. That's why it's called cheapskate. And transform it, like of taking his energy and bringing him to the level of consciousness, and then of aesthetic way of looking at the world. And so from a pure happening things there, it becomes an inner strength, and that comes, of course, from pop art, from particularly one side of the pop art, that is that one of Rauschenberg particularly. Then we went to this other chapter, that is the chapter that we've done after the break, and we discussed about this idea of the spaziare, the idea that really you create architecture with an operation in which the space between the objects, among the objects, are the key actor, and the architectures are like actors, objects that are there, like a kind of choreography or a kind of orchestra. And so for this reason, these are kind of individuality that have evidence in terms of form, have physiognomy in this way. We discuss about different things on this, and then we saw, in particular in this project, that among the all other aspects, informality, physiognomy, creating the center of the space and so forth, there is also a pragmatic reason that is very strong behind that. That is the idea that really you can create a project in different phases, and the different phases has to do with economic, and the different phases, though each one has its own equilibrium, spatial and formal equilibrium, and opening with organizing things with that technique makes a lot of sense. Just to make you vice versa, imagine another approach. I would say, okay, this is my building. I do organize with a series of courtyards, just to make an example. So if this one is not, basically you have to You move in a much more rigid way, and until the thing is not completed, it has no sense, which is the typical case when you move in another approach. You have a grand design, but in this grand design, it's not that all the parts are there. Since it is a grand design, it will not have sense, you know? Okay, so are there questions that could clarify any of these points that are not clear for you, because these are done in order to be clear, to be operative for you? Is rather okay or not? Dove è Basca? C'è una persona che si chiama Basca? Ah no, questa è un'altra lista. Where did this one arrive? And this one, this other, you won't, there is another one, Unterbaster. Yeah, we all know Unterbaster. We have no Vasca. Gerdi è arrivato, Gerdi Papa. Okay. So, no questions? Alright, now, I don't want to anticipate all the aspects of the workshop that we are going to do Sunday. But the basic idea is that you must have some materials to play with. So, since tomorrow is Saturday, and if I say this thing Saturday, will be too late. Will be too late. Right? And the only thing that you can do is to grab is what you have at home. That's why my suggestions is try to pile up a little bit of material out of which you can do study model, okay? That is the idea. For now you don't must know more than this. Imagine that you do have to do study model. You know what a study model is, right?
Maquette.
Eh? A maquette, okay. Imagine that you have to do a study maquette, okay? Of architecture. Okay?
Free material?
I'm going to talk to you in 1 second. I'm going to stop in this second. Imagine that we want to do study maquette, okay? Now, since our study maquette and not final maquette, we don't go to the obvious shop of where you buy super keen stick of wood, or the little man that costs 58 euros each, or the little machine, or the little, we don't go, just go away from that. What we must have is very raw material, in a way that we have no idea right now how we are going to use. But we have to have them, because otherwise we cannot play with. So what I suggest is that you go to a hardware store, okay? And at the hardware store, you buy, almost by accident, 5 euros of stuff, for example. You don't know now what you are going, you just go because are cute or you are interested. Like, I don't know, you can buy some piece of necks, for example, or there are those little tubes, or something. So you must have some objects with you. Another very good way to go is to go to the Chinese shops. Ci sono qua, a Tirana? Some, because the Chinese are very economical. To me, I know they are very economical. The idea is I don't know if I answer, I will try again with you. And of course, also traditional cardboard and things like that. Because when on Sunday, we will do, Dea can explain a little bit better. I don't want to explain the whole complexity of it. Just to explain a little bit why to have this basic material can be very important on Sunday, and since today is Friday, if I tell you, on Saturday it can be too late. So just stop by. Now let's try to understand better what you ask, or tell me if I answered, Hermal. What did you say? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Cardboard, things like that, leftovers, yes. But of course, you know, we need a little bit of all of them, and then we decide how to use it. But yes, of course, can be also recycled material, no problem. The whole idea is to do a study maquette, is a study maquette. Exactly what we don't have to go is to go to the official, marketplace. This is we're that way. We are going to work in group because it's more fun. It's much more fun. Yeah, it's more fun. At the beginning we were not working, but I will say two, maximum three, otherwise it's not fun. It's a little exercise. So it will be two or three maximum. Three really maximum, two ideal. But it's much more fun. Okay, so this is important because it's 5 o'clock and we are doing this, so you have a little time to do it. So again, through here I put it already very selective material, so the idea is that these are really the projects that you are needed to think about, and you access from the web, as I indicated. Of course, you can explore, you can put a keyword and find many other images, etc., because we are in an internet society. But these basically are the key material for now. Okay. Other questions? Va bene così? Okay. Okay, so let's decide the chart though. At what time do we see tomorrow? And please, it's a small group of people, so let's decide it for sure. Let's avoid the fact that I'm here at the time that we decided, and I am alone. So this is not very nice. Decide at what time we are here. If you are here, I mean, with Lydia and Laura, decide, and then let me know.